Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow and joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk growth and development and pie. Do you have any pie update? Y'all haven't taken your pie trip yet.
We have not taken the pie trip. We're going to.
You keep threatening to.
We're going to. We're waiting for the, you know, the fruits to ripen up just a little bit.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And certainly we're talking a lot about water, too. That was the big thing last night at Charlottesville City Hall with the council coming together. And the big news this week that former city councilor Kendra Hamilton came out of retirement, as it were, and wrote a very public letter that was passed around town.
Oh, did you get a copy?
Oh, I got a copy, and I saw it, and a lot of people are talking about it.
You know, what was interesting was it came out from the Virginia Organizing Project.
What's that?
It's a nonprofit here in town, and they used their email network to send this out. That was how I got a copy of it.
Oh, okay.
I think I got multiple copies.
Interesting.
But she, you know, did weigh in, like Kevin Lynch, who was on council.
Another former city councilor. And we should say the point of her letter, for folks who haven't heard about it, was she called the big 50-year water supply plan a pig and a poke.
Which I had to look up on Wikipedia.
What does that mean?
I'm glad you asked.
What is a pig and a poke?
A pig and a poke is an idiom that refers to a confidence trick originating in the late Middle Ages when meat was scarce, but apparently rats and cats were not.
Ah.
So they put a cat in a bag, and that was the joke. You know, you were fooled into thinking you were buying a little pig.
A pig.
And you didn't open the bag.
And you got home and you opened it up and it was a cat.
Right.
And you go, ah, it's a pig and a poke.
Exactly.
So she's referring to the 50-year water plan as a confidence scheme.
Yeah.
And she also says it's just outrageously expensive and we need to, dredging would be cheaper.
She did say that. Now, that's her opinion. I mean, I think that she said that, she pointed out that there were firms that have come forward and said that they could do a certain amount of dredging for a certain amount of money. And that's been much talked about in the community, these different estimates. What, as we've said on the program, Coy, what was interesting, I thought, was when the community group, the Citizens for a Sustainable Water Plan, had Gahagan and Bryant, the consultant, come to town, look at South Fork Ravana. They had a public meeting with the community, and then they had a work session with city council. They basically came to the same conclusion that the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority's consultant, Gannett Fleming, did on the cost of getting the stuff out of the reservoir. Just that piece alone. How much would it cost to get the muck out of the reservoir?
Yeah.
They came up with the same number.
Which is the cheap part, right?
That's the cheap part.
It's disposing of it.
It's disposing
of it. It can be expensive.
And so there, then you can start getting creative. What are the options for disposal? And certainly we've heard reports of a quarry near, you know, near the reservoir, near the airport, that might be able to take some of that fill. Yeah. Material. So that's interesting.
Well, in Shawshank Redemption, he put a little bit in his bag in his pants, and he would go out in the yard and just drip out the bags.
And they did that.
We should all just
sort of... Great Escape? Remember in The Great Escape?
Yes,
they did that,
yes.
Too.
Yeah. Boy, that's a great movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to go see that again. The Great Escape. That's terrific. Steve McQueen.
I would point out that, you know, she, Kendra Hamilton, alleges that, you know, we should make a decision based on the best data possible. And Charlottesville Tomorrow definitely agrees with that statement. But she suggests there's a lot of misinformation out there and scare tactics and ignorance and misinformation. And I think, you know, that's a concern that Kevin Lynch has been quoted as in The Hook last week as saying he felt like, you know, there wasn't even a plan. And you were talking with Hawes about that Friday.
Yeah.
That they went down to Richmond.
And the state said, we don't have a plan for that.
Right. And so, but again, going back to, let's get some shared facts on the table. After.
Yeah, we don't need facts.
After Lynch and Collins, this is sort of like, you know, you just had the astronomer from UVA on.
Yeah, isn't that great stuff? I could talk that space stuff all day.
Ed Murphy's great.
I love it.
The search for water and life on Mars.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was out there in the waiting room thinking, you know, that's a lot like the water plan. It's become this NASA scale project. And, you know, we sent Rich Collins and Kevin Lynch and the little rover down to Richmond to see if they could find water. And they didn't find anything.
They did. Well, it was interesting that they didn't find a plan, is there a plan there, and they just weren't looking in the right place.
And the DEQ wrote them a letter, and I have it right here in front of me. And I'm sure some of these recipients of this are going to call in any second. But here's what the Department of Environmental Quality wrote to them. You know, they said, thank you for taking the time to come to Richmond. And I have to point out, you know, they probably could have called and saved the gas money because we were talking about gas money last week.
It's very expensive.
Yeah. So they had to drive all the way down there. Anyway, we hope you found our meeting informative and led to an improved understanding of our water supply permit
so
and planning regulations.
So this is the state DEQ.
States writing back
writing
to Kevin
Lynch. The citizens for a sustainable water plan, the folks who've criticized the water plan.
So what they said was that the plan doesn't have to be on file until November 2nd, 2011. So the community, I would suggest, is pretty far ahead in preparing the plan for final submission to be on file with
they're
the Department
ready.
Of Environmental
they're
Quality.
Ready to break ground on a new dam. Start cutting down some trees.
It also says here that the regulation encourages localities to plan for the entire 50-year time period. That's been another topic of some debate. Do we need a 10-year plan, a 30-year plan, a 50-year plan?
And it was it? What's it say?
And it says in this plan they are required – that they being us, the local government, are required by the regulation to protect their water supply needs for a period of not less than 30 years and not more than 50 years. Project their water supply needs.
So we could do a 30-year plan.
The regulation encourages localities to plan for the entire 50-year time period. So there's that. So I think had they called down to DEQ, DEQ would have said, the plan doesn't need to be on file till November 2nd. So what plan are we talking about? What we're talking about is the plan that has been most recently reaffirmed by City Council unanimously last night, the Board of Supervisors last month. And this is the plan that is right now best described by what's called a permit application. This permit application says, here are all the parts. Here's what we're going to do with stream flows. Here's how we're going to meet this need for water. Here's how we're going to build a dam, a pipeline, et cetera, all the parts. And they put that into a permit because they need the DEQ to sign off on the permit at the state level, and they need the federal U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to sign off at the federal level related to the dam. And
which
the
happened today.
And the Fed signed off today, a day after City Council's action. So I think, you know, to make a statement that there is no plan, I think is a little disingenuous. There doesn't have to be – the paperwork doesn't have to be on file for a while down in Richmond.
Brian, let me ask you about this because in Kendra's letter, and then we heard it last night too at City Council, some folks are concerned that the new plan really – and the one reason that the environmentalists are for it is it's really good for the Mormons River, much of which is private, but that the Ravanna River south of the reservoir – isn't going to dry up, but it's going to have a lot less flow than it has now. And that's like the public part. So it sort of benefits private interests up on the Mormons against, the public on the Ravanna River. And that was one of the arguments, of the points in Kendra's letter.
These same the folks that have been asking that question, Coy, or raising a concern about that, have also said as recently as a couple months ago that they felt dredging alone would answer our 50-year water supply plan. And Hawes Spencer certainly made that argument in numerous articles. And I remember him saying on your show, you know, I'll pull out my calculator and do a little math here, and it looks like we can meet all of our needs for 50 years by dredging alone. I mean, he definitely said that. What that means, though, is if you could do that, if you could get enough supply out of the South Fork Reservoir from dredging,
dig enough of the muck out,
restore that capacity. At times of drought, if that's your plan, then you basically need to shut off the river if you're using that as your water supply.
Which we do now, right, occasionally.
Well, there was some, you know.
Because sometimes you can drive up 29 and look up, you know, past the Sam's Club and see that there's no water coming
over. There are release requirements. There's a level of flow required, and that was detailed in this permit application. Both for the Mormons and for the Ravanna, and that you would only siphon off water into the water supply after ensuring a certain minimal flow. And my point is, Coy, that if you extend that argument, hey, let's just dredge, let's just rely on South Fork, at times of worse drought when we have the population here that needs that water, which may be 30, 40 years from now, if you needed all that water, that suggests you're willing to turn off the river entirely. One of the elements of the plan,
which wouldn't be good for the
Ravanna
River,
which would kill the Ravanna River. Okay. So the people that have, you know, Kendra Hamilton said that she was concerned that the health of the Ravana was not discussed. But I think that people fail to realize that the Mormons goes into the Ravana. So stream flows in the Mormons will come downstream to the Ravana. The permit ensures a certain level of stream flow to continue even during times of worse drought. So the plan tries to take this into account and look out for the environmental issues of both the Mormons and the Ravana watershed.
We're talking about the water with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. We also want to remind you we've got an accident out on Interstate 64 westbound, coming towards Charlottesville from Richmond. And it's right before you get to the Pantops exit at 250. Got a few cars involved. Cars are squeezing around on the shoulder. If you're out that way and you can give us an update, we certainly appreciate it. 977-1070. If you're headed westbound, you may want to get on 250 instead. The phone lines are open. Betty is on line one. Betty, you're on with Brian Wheeler. Go right ahead.
Yes, Brian. I know you asked us to call, and so I'm calling. I am with Citizens for a Sustainable Water Plan, and I just wanted to clear up a few points with Brian. Our has never said that you could do dredging alone for 50 years water supply.
No, I said that Hawes Spencer had said that.
I know, Hawes Spencer, you did say that. But when Hawes said that, what he was referring to was before the permit put in the mandatory stream flow requirements. So that's
yeah, but if you take out the mandatory stream flow requirements, then you don't have any flow during times of worse drought.
But our group has never said that. We've always been for flow in the Mormons, and we actually, in our plan, which we have put out to the public, and it's available at the Hook website, or it's available by going to our website, sevillewater.info. You can get our plan, which shows flow into the Mormons commensurate with what is required in the permit. So that's one point. The second point is that we went to DEQ, and what we found out was that it had been misrepresented in our community, and it's actually at your website, February 13, 2008, article by Sean Tuff. It says, community water supply plan approved, received state approval. And Mr. Frederick of Ravana Water and Sewer and Mike Gaffney, both in that article, are quoted by Sean saying that they have DEQ state approval for the water supply plan. And that's the confusion in the community.
Well, that, Betty,
what? Just let me finish. But we do not have a state approved water supply plan. We have a withdrawal permit for water, which is very different.
The first sentence of that article, Betty, the first sentence of that article says the Department of Environmental Quality has approved a draft permit for the expansion of the Ragged Mountain Reservoir. So
that's what Sean wrote. But then if you look at the quotes from Mike Gaffney,
the quotes are from a press release
from that are in quotes. They both claim to have state approval. So that has created a great deal of confusion in the community. We have to do certain things that are important for the state to have a state-approved plan, and it would make a better plan for 50 years. And I said last night at the public hearing to the city, you need to go ahead. Mr. Frederick had told the community in 2006 that he was almost ready to file the plan. He had all the data. He took it upon himself to represent the city and the Board of Supervisors, and he hasn't done it.
Betty,
and
that's
all we need is certain demand numbers, correct population numbers, correct conservation numbers, which our mayor asked for, and then we can get state approval. So why don't we just go ahead and do it?
Betty, the letter from DEQ, which was also addressed to you and dated May 29th, also says, from the point of view of the Department of Environmental Quality, on February 11th, 2007, they should have said 2008, DEQ issued a permit for the RWSA for that proposed project. That proposed project, they say in the previous sentence, is expand the dam. And from the DEQ's point of view, at least based on this letter, they are saying they approved the permit which represents that project.
Let's rejoin our conversation with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville, tomorrow. Let's wrap up the water and move on. We got a lot to get to.
Yeah. So just to bring everybody up to speed, City Council last night unanimously reaffirmed their support for the 50-year community water supply plan. And what they tacked onto it, there was Mayor Norris put forward some adjustments to the resolution. In particular, he asked for dredging to be investigated. And that was something that City Council agreed with. And in fact, Tom Frederick, the director of the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority, told us today that such a what they call a sedimentation and feasibility study related to dredging will, in his words, be conducted in the near term, subject to the approval, obviously, of his board. So I think one of the things that's happened with the community feedback about this is a whole lot of people are saying we need to take another look at dredging, and lots of different ideas have been put on the table about that. So that was something that City Council added to the mix last night, and I think that will definitely be a part of the plan. You asked me last week, what did I think would happen? And you probably remember, I said, I think they'll be supportive of the existing plan, and I think they'll ask for maintenance dredging. And that's basically what they did.
Is that a request for maintenance dredging or a request for
It's a request dredging? To study dredging.
So it's not necessarily maintenance dredging to maintain the lake as a recreational area. It's a request to get us the full...
get to the bottom of the dredging situation.
Yeah, and would dredging solve our needs so that we wouldn't have to spend all this other money to build a big new reservoir?
And that's what some people who want dredging want to have answered, yes.
Yeah.
Now, I would tell you that not all counselors or the Department of Environmental Quality think the answer to that is a yes. And by that, I mean, is dredging alone enough to satisfy our 50-year water supply needs? Counselor David Brown last night said that he doesn't think so. You can't obtain enough water, he said last night, by dredging alone. Department of Environmental Quality, again, referring back to that letter that was sent last week to Kevin Lynch, Rich Collins, Betty Mooney. The Department of Environmental Quality does not believe the projected water need can be met through dredging alone. So again, the experts at RWSA, again, at Fleming, Department of Environmental Quality, they're all telling the elected officials, the boards of these organizations, dredging alone doesn't do it.
Yeah.
That said, there's interest by City Council now and others in the community to have dredging looked at. How can that help us with our water supply needs? And so that's going to get a serious look.
And if it doesn't solve it, how close does it get you to it?
Right.
And why doesn't it solve it?
And, you know, Councilor Talaferro was on WINA this morning, and one of the things he said was he wants to know how close it gets them. And in his mind, that may cause him to want to revisit some elements of the plan. And I think if you ask any elected official, would new information cause you to revisit some assumption, they're all going to say yes.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully, just generally speaking.
But the community.
I mean, you want government to always be saying, well, wait a minute, do we have all the facts and do we need to spend all this money that we were going to spend, or can we accomplish our goal more inexpensively than we had originally planned?
And as that information is collected, what we're hearing from Tom Frederick at the RWSA is that he sees dredging as a parallel and separate process to the implementation of this water supply plan. So the implementation is going to start moving forward now with the Corps of Engineers approving the permit today.
So they're going to start cutting down trees. That's the first step, right?
Well, I don't know that that's the first step. But they've already started designing the dam. So that's the next thing they need to get approved is that design.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. So before we go any further, Brian, what are they doing down on Emmett Street near Barracks Road where they tore down that gas station and ripped up the gas tanks?
I called over to the city today, and the planners over there tell me that at that corner there will be a drum roll, please.
Oh, I don't have a drum roll.
You don't have the drum roll?
Let me, what do we have?
What do you think we need more of on 29?
I got this. This is my favorite.
What do you think we need more of on 29?
Fast food.
Next.
No, it's not a gas station. Not another gas station,
not another
right?
gas station.
Not a car wash.
A bank. A Chevy Chase bank is going in.
There's another bank going in?
There's a bank going in there.
Oh,
now,
man.
Apparently, the Chevy Chase has a pretty distinctive bank style, I guess I would say,
yeah,
at most of their locations. And apparently they brought
big
in
golden arches that some hamburger joint stole.
It looks like a big house with fake windows and columns kind of thing.
Like every other bank.
I think that's what the Chevy Chase Bank up in Hollymead Town Center. Isn't that what that looks like? Anyway, I've seen
Oh, that is a Chevy Chase Bank up there.
I think it is.
They're
so anyway,
big.
Apparently, according to this planner, they came in with their typical plan. Here's what we always do.
Yeah.
City staff and I think maybe the Architectural Review Board pushed back a little bit and said, no, we're not too excited about those fake windows that don't operate.
Yeah.
So they pushed back a little bit, and apparently the design was improved. So,
but in their fake windows in the SunTrust Bank right across the street from that?
I don't know.
Right next to the Hollywood Video?
Yeah, you know, I think you might be right. But maybe now we're doing it. Maybe now we have new standards, Coy.
Now we have changing standards.
It's never too late to make something look better.
Isn't that the truth? Absolutely. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. It's a bank, folks, coming in towards down there on the corner of Emmett and Barracks Road where they tore down that gas station right across from Hollywood Video and SunTrust. A bank. Another bank. We certainly need another bank. So tell us about this big new shopping center that we talked a little bit about last week. But
we did. We
really
sort of gave a tease. And, I fear our teasing it and getting it out there may have led to its deferral, which apparently I just got a text message from my staff.
The wonders of technology, isn't it?
So as I'm sitting here, Northtown Center deferred until June 17th.
Because the County Planning Commission is meeting as we speak.
Yeah, in 10 minutes they're starting. But, hey, this frees up my evening. So, but up on our website, SeavilleTomorrow.org, not only do we have all these articles about the water supply and a very in-depth discussion last night covering what each of the counselors had to say, but we also have a post from last week about Northtown Center, which is a proposed commercial development between Carsbrook and Woodbrook on 29 North on the right side across from Kegler's. And we took some pictures, and right now it's a forest.
Yeah. And a beautiful forest it is.
I have not been in it myself, but yeah, it does look beautiful on 29. And at that light there, which is just north of Kegler's, you know, if you want to go to Kegler's, you have to make the U-turn and come back. So there's that traffic light right by Shule's Furniture.
Oh, yeah.
Better Living.
Yeah.
So that traffic light will be the entrance to this proposed commercial development.
And there's a road on the other side, too, that goes up past Shule's, right?
That's another idea, to connect it up to Berkmar.
Yeah. That would be very cool.
So, yeah, that would make that a better grid. But what was going to be in front of the Planning Commission tonight was phase one of that development. It's about 7 acres, and we've got a little map on the website you can take a look at.
Phase one, though, is 7 acres. The whole thing is, what, 16?
I think it's 16, yep.
Big.
And so it's the first half of it. Now, it's interesting. I did a little homework on that site. And as you recalled, I think, on the air last week, it was the site of the Home Depot discussion.
That's what I thought. Years ago, it was going to be a Home Depot over there.
And there have actually been numerous attempts to develop this over the years. Since it was zoned highway commercial back in 1980, there have been attempts at auto dealerships. But the most famous attempt was the Home Depot right across the street from Lowe's.
Yeah, but that fell through.
It fell through. But it was a landmark decision because the Planning Commission rejected it because of critical slope issues.
Yeah.
Don't disturb that much critical slope.
It was too hilly.
And came to the applicant, Wendell Wood, appealed to the Board of Supervisors.
So this is his development.
He is involved in this project.
Wendell Wood.
And still is involved in
it. Brought to you by Wendell Wood.
And anyway, came back to the Board of Supervisors. And there was some – I mean, had you and I had the show going, we would have spent a lot of time on this decision.
This was – when was this?
There was closed meeting intrigue.
About 10 years ago, wasn't it?
Did I write the date
down? Mid to late 90s, was it?
I didn't write the date down.
Back in the 90s, though.
Yes.
Because I remember talking about it.
Yes, I think so. But anyway, there were only 3 votes to approve it. So the motion was put on the table, let's go ahead and overturn the Planning Commission rejection.
Wouldn't be the first time.
There were only 3 votes to do it, so it failed. So lacking a 4th vote, the Home Depot plan.
And they went to Waynesboro instead.
Yep. Well, and now I guess they're trying to build one on 5th Street.
Yeah.
But anyway, right now staff are recommending denial of this site plan.
Interesting.
This is not a rezoning. It's a site plan. So I didn't make that clear last week. So it's already been rezoned.
He can do this.
There's by right development that can happen there. And so now the question is, does the site plan have all of the requirements met that the Planning Commission asked for when this was last looked at back in 2005?
So what's it going to be? Do we know? So this, and again, to remind folks, we're talking about that land, which is now trees.
Well, I was hoping to find out tonight.
It's on the east side of 29 North across from Lowe's and Kegler's and Walmart. It's all trees now.
We don't know. It was going to be, I don't know. It was going to be 3 commercial buildings. I did not call Mr. Wood and ask him. I was hoping to find that out tonight. We'll do some digging since this has been deferred now. But at the time, in 2005, there was talk about having it be a bank.
Home Depot?
No, a bank.
Oh, a bank.
Because they have approval for the construction of a bank drive-through window.
Oh.
They got a special use permit for that. That's something you have to get in the county.
We don't have enough banks.
So Second Bank and Trust expressed interest in having that be their regional headquarters. Second Bank and Trust is now Stellar One. They've got acquired, consolidated, whatever. And they have an existing location nearby on Route 29. So I'm not sure if they're still in the mix or not.
Yeah. So we don't know if it would be a big box or not.
It would be 3 boxes, and what would be in them, I don't know at this point.
So it would be 3 big boxes.
Three commercial buildings totaling about 84,000 square feet.
So put that into perspective. How big is that?
Well, I was afraid you were going to ask me that.
84,000 square feet?
Well,
8,500 square
feet. Let me put it this way. When we looked at, when you and I looked at that whole site, that 16 acres last week,
yeah,
it looked like you could drop the Lowe's and the Keglers basically
easily
into that area.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing we're talking about.
It's
probably
huge.
I'm looking at the map here and I'm just guessing. It looks maybe the buildings would be half the size of the Lowe's across the street.
To fit three in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, you remember when they first built the Lowe's? It faced 29. And then they closed it and like turned it.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Remember that?
I do.
When it was brand new, it actually, the parking lot was on the front overlooking 29. And then it was small. It was a small Lowe's. And
yep.
Then they closed it and sort of turned it to the side and expanded it.
Yep. And that's when they did that big terracing around the back, didn't they?
Because they moved
it back.
That
didn't
wall.
They built the new one behind. Didn't they build it behind
they
the
basically
first one?
Added on to the back of it
yeah.
and put the entrance on the side and yeah. built a whole new parking lot
forgotten about
on
that.
The front of it. Yeah. Yeah. The only constant is change.
Okay. So
what's going on with the Eastern Connector?
Eastern Connector. We've got a great story about that on the website. Because
SeavilleTomorrow.org.
SeavilleTomorrow.org. Because last week the steering committee met, and Kevin Lynch still represents the city on that steering committee. So he was there. Ken Boyd was there representing the county. And they are sticking with their preference for a preferred alignment of the Eastern Connector through Penn Park to
Ooh.
Get over to 20 North and Pantops.
Yeah.
So there'd be another crossing of the Ravanna River near Penn Park and near Darden Tow Park, for that matter, on the other side. But what's interesting about this is the committee's recommending a four-lane road for the Eastern Connector. There's been a lot of discussion about the Eastern Connector. Should it be all the way north at Profit Road? Should it be at Polo Grounds Road, a little closer in? Or should it be coming off of Rio through Penn Park over to 20 and Pantops?
Yeah.
And that's the alignment they're sticking with. Now,
so it's going to look like the 250 bypass.
Yeah, but we're still early in this conversation. Of course, there is no money to actually
exactly.
build this. But I'm sure it'll get people.
It'll float in the air, Brian, and we'll have space cars.
But interestingly, it was Kevin Lynch who said at the meeting that he didn't think that they had accomplished their goals. So he was pushing back a little bit, saying, I don't think we really accomplished what we were supposed to do. Other members of the committee said, yes, we did. John Faltz, city resident, said, you know, we've come up with a plan. We can share this with the community, get their feedback. And he said, and John Faltz said, I think we're coming out with a pretty strong statement. I think it's a fairly large step forward in a kind of difficult political situation. And that difficult political situation
is it getting no money to build it?
Well, there's that, but also putting another road through another park in the city.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Well, if there's no money to build it, don't worry about it, at least in the near term, right?
The consultant is going to go back to work on this a little bit, finalize the recommendations. It's going to come back to the Board of Supervisors and City Council this fall.
This fall. Brian Wheeler, the Executive Director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. We talk growth and development on Tuesday afternoons. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Corey.
Y'all have a great night.